Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much for the invitation to appear and represent the department in front of the committee to talk about the transportation of spent nuclear fuel. I ask that my formal testimony be entered into the record. I'm going to keep my... Thank you very much. I'm going to keep my verbal comments very brief because we have a number of folks to speak this afternoon. First of all, I would like to say that obviously there's a lot of misinformation about this whole issue of transportation of spent nuclear fuel and high-level waste. And I hope that in my comments I try and help the committee understand some of those misconceptions and try and straighten out some of the information. First of all, the concept of, as you pointed out in your opening statement, the transportation of spent nuclear fuel and high-level waste in this country is not something new. We have been shipping that material, that hazardous material, across the country by both rail and truck for over 40 years. And to be specific, just in the U.S. alone, in the last 40 years, there have been over 3,000 shipments of spent nuclear fuel and over 6,000 shipments of transuranic waste by truck to the Waste Isolation Pilot Project in New Mexico since it's opened. So there is a huge experience base in this country on how to transport radioactive materials safely and effectively. And in all those shipments, there has never once been any release of radioactivity in the public environment. There have been accidents, but none of those accidents have ever resulted in any releases because of the very robust containers and the very robust regulations that the Department of Transportation and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission places on that transportation. And I'll let the representatives of those organizations talk a little bit more about that in their presentations. For Yucca Mountain, which obviously is one of the issues at the heart of this discussion and this hearing, just want to make a comparison that compared to the 3,000 spent nuclear fuel shipments made so far in this country, that at its peak of operation at Yucca, we're expecting that approximately 320 rail cars, which is 2 to 3 trains per week of shipments, would go from other places in the country to Yucca. And that over 25 years, it'd be 320 rail cars, or about 2 to 3 trains per week, is what the total number of shipments would be to Yucca via rail, and approximately 90 truck shipments per year. That compares to the existing transportation today in the U.S. of all hazardous materials of approximately 1 million rail cars of shipments in this country of hazardous materials as classified by the Department of Transportation. So when you take a look at the total environment of hazardous waste transport in this country, radioactive materials is a very, very small percentage, and Yucca Mountain would be an even smaller percentage of that. So that's just to give you some kind of a context relative to the other hazardous material transportation this country already does and already accepts on a daily basis. Dr. Crowley will talk later this afternoon about the National Academy of Sciences study, which really addressed this whole issue, I think, very, very well. And it concluded that the risks to the public from shipping spent nuclear fuel are orders of magnitude less than the risks associated with a number of other hazardous materials, like chlorine and like some of the other gases and chemicals that are shipped across the country, whose risks we routinely accept. And so I think the National Academy study, when you hear from Dr. Crowley, will put this in a little more perspective in terms of comparative risks of nuclear material shipment versus other hazardous waste shipment. We, the Department of Energy, have been working since 1992 with states, county, tribal, and local governments in what we call our Transportation External Coordination Working Group, to start to work together with these various entities about the transportation issues associated with Yucca Mountain, both by rail and by truck. We have a very good working relationship with them, and we are committed to continuing that working relationship with them. And we know that any successful transportation campaign in the future will require a very strong working relationship with those local communities. So in summary, as we have the opportunity to talk about this a little bit more this afternoon, I would like to leave the committee with the sense that, number one, this has been going on for a long time, the transportation of spent nuclear fuel and high-level radioactive waste. The risks, as assessed by the National Academy of Sciences, are significantly lower than the risks associated with the existing transportation of hazardous materials in the U.S. There are significantly more shipments of hazardous materials in the U.S. than nuclear materials. And we believe we have a very strong and successful regime of regulation, both from the NRC and the Department of Transportation, which DOE is committed to adhering to as we go forward with the Yucca Mountain Transportation Campaign. Thank you. Senator, if I can just add, under the Nuclear Waste Policy Act, there's a section called 180C, which requires the federal government to provide grants to state, local, county, to governments and first responders, including Indian tribes, specifically to provide the training for responding to radiological accidents during the transportation campaign.
Do you know when that's going to happen?
As a matter of fact, we just recently have put out we're about ready to revise a put out Federal Register notice on the process for applying for the 180C grants. And we've laid out a schedule of when that's to start based on the 2020 start of shipment date. And that training would start a minimum of, 5 years prior to the start of the first shipment.